help them understand like the new place where they were living. And you know, it kind of goes both ways. You know, you're being so kind in the words you're saying about KXE and me and John, and but it's like also people like you and Leanne like showed up to my mother's funeral. I mean,
yeah.
Unbelievable yeah. that you would show that kindness to people, you know, that I didn't know you all that well, and what that means when people do that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, we ain't blood, but we're family.
Yeah. Yep. Oh my gosh. It's a crying sort of morning. Yeah, it's not even StoryCorps anymore. So, okay.
Yeah.
So,
Homestead Mills is our sponsor for What's for Breakfast, and you get Country Blend cereal or wild rice pancakes delivered right to the Love Palace. What do you guys want?
Oh, let's try the pancakes.
All right.
we've had them in the past, and they are delicious, so we're looking forward to that.
Well, you have a great birthday, all right?
Keep dancing around the living room. I just imagine that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, John, we have a few weeks left for some good fall golf.
I'm going out this morning after this.
Okay. Well, let's get together soon.
Hit them straight.
All right.
Thanks. You too.
Coming up, we'll be talking about sports. It'll be the sports page on KEXE. Thanks to Ron and Leanne, longtime members of KEXE. Birthday for Ron. He's always he always sends in a dedication to his adventure princess for her birthday and their anniversary. So good to hear from you. We did get some confirmation of some rain in northwestern Minnesota. Ron also had got Sarah Bignall crying this morning. Oh. So thank you for that. We all need to feel a little bit of feels sometimes.
We need good tears.
We heard from people, though, that it is raining in northwestern Minnesota. Be our weather watcher. Tell us what the weather's like where you are. 218-326-1234.
I want to thank North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at northhomes.org. You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Hey, I'd love a little help. I'm going to be spending some time on the North Shore. I'd love to hear from people some favorite things to do there. I've been there many, many times, but sometimes you just need someone else to tell you what to do, whether it's a restaurant or a certain trail to try or waterfall I have to see. You can text 218-326-1234. Is that too?
Or some hidden little museum. You like to always go to.
I love little crazy museums. Yeah, like my gosh. Like the National Roller Skating Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the best. All drivers can help reduce pedestrian vehicle crashes. This is a message brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Transportation and Public Safety. You can help reduce those crashes on Minnesota roads by watching for pedestrians. Stop for crossing pedestrians at every single corner. Pay attention and be prepared to stop. It is the law. Are we getting ready for it?
I'm kind of buckling my seatbelt.
I bet you guys have a lot to talk about. We're now in football season, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, it is the sports page.
Then I turned to the sports page. And the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it. The sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
Hard to believe it. It's time for another edition of the sports page. I'm John Bauer. Megan Buffington's to my right. Heidi Holton. Kyle Erickson's in the frame. We're waiting for Fred Friedman. And it's going to be a good day. And Megan, let's talk about the Vikings.
Oh, thank God.
Now listen, I had a bunch of people over for chili, and we were watching the Vikings game.
Old.
Yeah, and it was the worst game ever at the beginning. Come on, it was. Kyle, it was the worst game. Defense did all right. Offense was unspectacular. And by the end of the night, it was like, get rid of McCarthy. Then he was a hero about 2 hours later.
I don't know that I was feeling get rid of JJ after that.
No, I'm just exaggerating, but they were not happy with him.
For three quarters, it looked like JJ McCarthy had never seen a football before.
Two and three quarters.
It was Spurgeon win level bad.
Oh, yeah. Let's
not pretend about this. But I will say, y'all know I've been skeptical about McCarthy's prospects. While overall he did not have a good game, I loved what I saw in the fourth quarter. He didn't have to make a lot of super tough throws, but the touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson was a really good one on a rope in a tight window. And he showed up when it mattered. And that is a really big part of winning in the NFL. Now, would he have got away with a game like this? Would the team have got a win against a good team rather than the Bears? Probably not. But all you can do is play who's on your schedule. And I like the fact that the Vikings' early season schedule is softer and they don't get to the meat grinder part until the middle of the season. So here's hoping they can work out some of the bugs and we see more of fourth quarter McCarthy and a lot less of the first three quarters McCarthy.
I think what will help a lot is Christian Darrisaw should be back soon. That was what was running through my mind. It wasn't get rid of JJ. Yeah. It was, oh God, can we please get Christian Darrisaw back? Because the backup, Justin School, was just getting whooped out there. And that was, I mean, JJ obviously was finding his footing, but I mean, the pressure that he was dealing with and the line was collapsing so early. And that's tough in your first NFL start. So
he has a gun, he has a tight spiral and he has a gun. Actually, sometimes he needs to like maybe take a little bit of juice off that gun.
Fred is joining us.
Fred is with us by phone. Okay. Fred, we're talking about the Vikings. Another thing that I like our kick returner. My goodness.
Oh, Miles Price.
Yes. That's huge. Yeah. That's huge to have somebody like that. And the defense bent, but they didn't break. So now we play the Atlanta Falcons. Two times we're on national television.
Yeah,
right?
Back to back. I'm a little nervous. Both Andrew Van Ginkel and Jeff Okuda are in concussion protocol still. Blake Cashman is going to be missing a few weeks with that hamstring injury he suffered during the game. It'll be hopefully they come out strong. And JJ's missing a little bit of time right now. Was at team meetings yesterday morning, but he is currently at the hospital with his first baby on the way. As of yesterday afternoon. So,
Fred, are you emptying a garbage truck or what?
No, I'm in the car driving to Minneapolis. I got to go to an event, a ceremony. So, two things. One, I like the way the coaches are saying, after one game, I can tell you that Price is our best punt returner since Cheryl's return, retired. Yeah. I can tell you that after one game, right?
Right.
And secondly, what do you guys think of all these trainers saying the reason hamstring injuries are up so much in the NFL is because of not playing your players at all during preseason, and their hamstrings, they're not ready. They're not in shape. But the hamstring injuries are way up if you take a look.
Okay, so I think they will take that question, but Fred, we can barely hear you. Lots of noise coming from your phone, but hear that question. No, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to pull you down and may have to let you go too, because
I'm sure it is, but we also forget they practice hard.
But not as hard.
I know, not as hard. I'm totally with it. I think that it does affect their ability to be in tip-top shape, because you're right, they don't want to cruise in practice. They have scrimmages and they work hard, but a game time is a totally different situation. What do you think, Kyle?
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. I would assume that they're professional athletes. They've been doing this most of their life. They know how to practice in a way that should get them ready for the regular season, even if they don't participate a lot in preseason games. But are you going to go all out in practice like you would in a game and prepare for those really intense bursts? Maybe not. I don't know. What I'm curious about is And this has been an ongoing issue in the venue the Vikings played in on Monday night, the turf on Soldier Field. Mm-hmm. They had
horrible
five concerts the week of Labor Day on that field, and you may have been able to actually see the seams on the field where they had to lay new turf down less than a week before the game. And the Vikings coaching and leadership hasn't acknowledged it, but there's speculation that that's part of why they didn't play Darrisaw in week one, is they were really worried about the turf and didn't want to aggravate an injury.
And, you know, Megan, so there's also...
If you think about, you know, the multi-purpose use of NFL stadiums and all of that, and which ones are turf, which ones are grass, and there's probably a whole big stew of factors that feed into the rise in more leg injuries that we see.
And also, you know, there's the old adage that these people, they're so physically fit. They're just like wound tight like piano strings, and they're vulnerable to injuries. And that's taken place.
I'm going to say this as a Chicago native, right? The Soldier Field is not controlled or run or owned by the Bears. They got nothing to say with it. And the building has been there in this field since the 1920s. I mean, it's absolutely historic. And they have always had a ton of events there, far, far more than most NFL stadiums, far more. Hey, it's Chicago. There's never-ending concerts and events. So their field has always been a problem. It's always been criticized. You know, there's soccer games there constantly. They're changing turf all the time. I could see it. But they had a thing on the NFL TV station of player after player, including Cashman, chasing people and just collapsing with hamstring injuries. So,
yeah,
to me, it's a concern.
Okay, let's switch from the Vikings to the Gophers football team. They beat East Westchester State 59-0 at halftime. And then I didn't watch any of it, but they canceled the game because of rain. It was just
like
a blessing.
6.5 minutes.
Yeah, that was a blessing. So there's probably not much to say about how the Gophers did in their football game. So Fred, and Kyle and Megan, I want to bring up a game I watched the other night. It was Detroit against the Yankees. Did any of you watch any of those games?
So no, I hate both those teams. Why would I?
Well, there was a pitch. Runners on first and second for the Yankees, and there was a pitch, and the ball bounced and went into the catcher's gear. So it was underneath his chest protector. And they all of a sudden, they stopped the game. All the umpires got together. People are going, what is going on? And then they sent the runner from first to second and the runner from second to third. It's considered a dead ball. Like, you know, you've seen balls that will get lodged in the fence or something. They can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but here's the definition. Do you know what the definition of that is in the play, in the scorebook? It's a balk. Now, Fred, you're an attorney. Help me out with that one. Even the announcers did.
Crazy.
No idea what that meant.
That's crazy. That's just making it up on the spot. How could it be a balk?
The pitcher pays the price. Anyway, let's talk about one more thing. Now, Megan, what do you think about the Philadelphia Philly lady that's getting all the bad rap? She lost her job. She lost her character. This guy got a foul ball from her. Everybody's seen that, haven't you? Kyle?
Oh, sure.
I had no idea what you were talking about. But yeah, you guys can go on about it.
It's been all over TV. Her face is all over everywhere.
I'm not really on the internet except for work. So
here's the deal.
The internet.
Home run ball. And in tradition, like my wife said, what's going on? So there's a ball laying there. It's a home run ball. So there's five people converge. It's in front of this lady. And one guy comes over and grabs the ball and walks over and gives it to his son. Elation. The lady followed him over there and just chewed him a new butthole and made him give the ball back. So the lady takes the ball back, and it's just like, you know, just the worst thing that could happen.
With a lot of vile language.
Yes, right in his face,
and
almost.
This is the curse of facial identification technology. Now, the whole world knows, because it gets on the internet, who this woman is. She's hated. She's cursed. She was way out of line. And now one of the baseball card companies offered her $5,000 to return the ball to the kid if she signed it on the card, her name.
Oh, my, yeah.
Saying, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Well, there was a silver lining, right, Kyle? I mean, Bader came out and gave him a bat, right?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, I mean, the dad handled it in a really good way.
Yes.
I mean, you could see if you watch the video, he was just shocked and horrified by the vitriol. He did not escalate. He just kind of, you know, backed up, put his hands up. I think him giving the ball back, even though it was well within his right to have it, was the right thing to do. It was a good example to set for his son about how to de-escalate a tense situation. The woman was definitely in the wrong, but I hate the internet mob mentality that pops up around this stuff.
Oh,
I mean, heaven help us if any of us are judged by our worst moment, and if she lost her job because of this or that, I mean, that is sad.
Mm-hmm.
She maybe should go to anger management counseling and probably be in therapy for a while, because there's some stuff below the surface that, you know, that is probably percolating. But you don't deserve to have your life upended because you acted terribly in one moment like that. I don't think. I just think that part of it is really sad.
Guys, keep this in mind. The same facial identity software that they're using to look for people of interest in the Utah shooting, the identical thing, exposed this person's name and where she lives and everything all over the internet. Give that thought. But this is Philadelphia. Let's keep that in mind. The worst fans in the world, the only stadiums that have jails at the stadium. This is the Philly crowd who booed Mike Schmidt. This is the 76er crowd that booed Julius Erving. Hey, they booed Santa Claus at a football game. Right, you know.
Well, I caught a Larry Herndon home run ball a long time ago at the Metrodome, and my son was with me and my daughter and my wife at the time. And I was very proud. I brought my glove, gave it to my son. He was jacked up. The game's over. We're leaving the Metrodome, and the lobby's just packed. My son trips and falls, and the ball rolls out,
A
grown man grabbed it and ran away. So it has a soft spot. It has a sensitive spot in my heart. So anyway, let's get off that. Let's talk a little bit about the Lynx, Heidi. What's going on with the Lynx? They lost without Nafisha. Now, she didn't play last night either, did she?
Yeah, she did.
She did play last night?
She did play last night. They won last night. They lost on Tuesday night. The playoffs begin. They're still their number one seed, home court advantage. The record is, I think, so Minnesota Lynx are 32-8. Las Vegas Aces are 26-14. Atlanta Dream 25-14. New York Liberty's gone down a bit. They're 24-16.
Which means we won't be facing them in the finals.
We're going to play Seattle, it sounds like, in the first round.
Valkyrie in the first round.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Oh, that
changed. And then we'll play
the
either the Mercury or the Liberty in the semis.
I think I'm a little nervous about all three of those, the Aces, the Atlanta, and the Mercury. I'm worried about those
teams.
Well,
Aces and Atlanta, we'll worry about that. They're on the other side of the bracket, I guess.
Yes. Calm
those fears.
I know.
So are we hoping to play the Liberty then, I guess?
I don't know.
If you don't want to face the Mercury?
No, it's just a hard thing to watch the things that I was so confident about. I actually had to put in a therapy call to Scott Hall yesterday. I'm like, what's happening?
You get so nervous, especially this time of year.
Well, I just
when
said
it
I've
all
got
blow up.
Such emotions about this. What's happening right now, Scott? Are they intentionally not playing well? Do I not understand this? You know, I went through this whole thing, and he's kind of laying out for me about why not playing Nafisha made such a huge difference the other night.
Because
she's got this kind of quiet, you don't even really notice how good she is on defense. And how she knows, as Scott put it, what's going to happen before it happens.
And you can't teach it, teach 20 plus points a game.
Right. But we've got some great, what I didn't understand was we have so many other great players. So it didn't make sense to me, like, why did they play like that? Because they've all been doing great.
Mm-hmm.
It's also getting close, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be great. It's great for Minnesota to be here. And
just not great for your well-being.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's just heartbreak. I just, you know, again, this is still sort of new for me, and it's been an exciting season. Also, I don't have to like give up sports now until next spring, because we will have the league back, the 3-on-3. So I'm excited about that when that kicks up again in January.
Heidi, sports do crazy things to people. Mm-hmm. And there's a word, there's a reason why fanatic comes from the word fan.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I'm excited. It begins, when is the next game?
Sunday. Three game playoff match starts Sunday against the Valkyrie.
Valkyrie's a new, you know, the new franchise team.
They're doing all right. Making the playoffs is impressive.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to just venture to the Twins for a second because for years, at least in Rocco Baldelli's tenure, I've been just like upset the fact that they never try and steal. They've always been like the last place team over Baldelli's whole career as far as even attempted steals. And now when they've been out of it, like the assistant, one of the base coaches just told Baldelli, give everybody the damn green light. Let them figure it out. And we've been stealing bases. You know you're going to get caught, but it at least lends a little excitement. Fred, what's your thought on this stealing and why did it take so long?
Because the front office tells them, the stats guru said, I read a book. And it says, play for the 3-run home run, which they don't hit.
We don't have that.
And they trade that for, and they trade that for 200 strikeouts a season. So yeah, they were just wrong. I follow the statistics, but come on, you know, you use your head. And plus, a lot of these players are playing; they can't do anything else. Let them run,
Kyle.
Except Buxton. Buxton doesn't get thrown out.
No.
I mean, I'm pro-stealing. What analytics can't capture in thinking about do you steal, do you not, is the psychological impact of the threat of running. It, you know, having been a pitcher, although not at the professional level, of course, having to worry about people stealing changes things.
Mm-hmm.
It changes things. Yep. And I'm for it when I think about, do the Twins steal more bases or not in the next couple of years? I think that's kind of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. So I don't know that that's going to be a difference maker until they get different ownership, different manager, different roster. But just in general, I think it adds to the game and is a good tool to have in the kit. And I hope they do more of it.
All right, you guys, anything else on anybody's mind?
If we have just 1 minute quick, I'm curious what y'all think about Angel Reese got suspended for the first half of Chicago, I think is their last regular season game, for some comments that she made.
Mm.
And she is, you know, unquestionably the best player on their team. She's averaging like 15 points, 13 rebounds a game, very fiery, very passionate. And in some post-game comments, she was basically just begging ownership and the general manager for more help. She says, we need to get great players in here. We can't run it back with what we've got. They've had a terrible season. And she got suspended for a half a game for that, for conduct detrimental to the team. I read through the comments. They were pointed. I agree with everything she said. Well, it's maybe not the look you would hope for.
No.
I mean, what do you all think? Should she have been suspended basically for saying, I can't do this by myself, please give me some help?
Well, in the NBA, they don't suspend you for saying that.
Correct.
But I wouldn't want to be the four teammates, though. That, you know, I mean, they're out there obviously busting their butts, trying to do the best they can. They may not be stars, but boy, when you have somebody that says we need to bring in some players because we don't have anything right now, that's detrimental to the team. Suspension-wise, probably not, but that's my opinion.
So, Kyle, my reaction is, the league suspended her, that's wrong. That's wrong. If the team suspended her, hey, they're the employer, they don't want to play the first half of the game or whatever, that's their business. They got that contractual right. So that's my point. League, no. Team, they can do whatever they want.
Did the team suspend her or the league?
The team did.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, yeah.
Yep, the team did. And just because he can doesn't mean he should. I think this is something that should have probably sparked maybe a really good players-only meeting to try to hash some of this stuff out. I really am
I almost feel like suspending her is more detrimental to the team. It's only, you know, throwing fuel on the flame.
Yeah.
And she didn't play that second half, right? And they claimed it was a back. She was suspended from the first one, but the second half, they claimed it was a back injury. Hmm. But of course, that's not what.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Amazing
too.
How those back injuries work up their way.
Yeah. I also want to just ask something because I'm not familiar with the NBA. This is for you, Meg. No. they've been doing this new thing in like the second quarter during the Lynx game for like 10, 15 minutes is all, where they have circles, these things on the floor that are following the players.
Oh, the graphics? I hate
it so much.
Oh, really?
Where they're saying the percentage from that spot. And it follows everybody who's got the ball in these little circles. With the numbers.
Normally, there's like an alternative analytics broadcast with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. They only do it in like one quarter for a very small amount of time.
I've never seen it, yeah.
So I don't know if they invested in the technology, and if they are listening right now, stop it. Don't do it anymore.
I mean, I'm sure it's the same tech that they probably do for NBA, and there probably are NBA alternate broadcasts. I wonder if just the WNBA is not at the point where you're going to do two broadcasts of the same game, so they're like, we'll just throw it in there. Yeah,
You don't see that in the NBA?
No.
Have you seen it yet on a Lynx game?
No, I haven't. I've watched a lot of games. They can't do it very often.
Every game.
At a certain time?
Yeah. Like usually second quarter or third quarter for like 3-5 minutes, right? Something like that. Does that
Well, remember the NHL used to do the lightning, the trail behind a puck shot. That went away very quickly too.
Okay. All right. I had to get that out. Thank you.
Bad graphics are part of being a sports fan is the short answer.
Well, and it's just, you know, it's moving. So it's like, it's semi interesting to see because Courtney Williams is known for her, mid-range jump or mid-range shots, but she moves a little bit, the number changes to 62%, 58%.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Too much.
So you don't watch the game, you watch the circle.
On the floor.
That's like when there's an interpreter at an event, people watch the interpreter. That's just the way it is. Okay, it's time to get to the trivia. Items in the news recently and catching up with the dear departed. For example, Lynx player Cecilia Zandalasini is now a forward for the Golden State Valkyries. He has 24 home runs and 68 RBIs for the Mariners this season.
That's her catcher, right?
Ex-twin.
Is that who it is?
Ex-twin.
Oh. Polanco?
Yeah. He's
dearly departed.
This so surprises me. He's got 68 RBIs. I've watched the box score all the time. Yeah, he's got 24 home runs and 68 RBIs. Here's another one. Since August 1st, he is hitting .339 with 4 home runs and 14 RBIs. Hint:
Carlos Correa.
No, hint, if it's necessary, with the Phillies.
Oh, Harrison Bader.
Bader.
He's got 14
I'm
RBIs.
Trying not to. John's showing me the answer sheet.
Oh, sorry,
right now.
Sorry. Since August 1st, he has a 5.54 ERA and 13 innings pitched.
Griffin Jacks.
Yeah. Boy, that's not good.
Shocking. Yeah.
Since August 1st, he has 20 strikeouts, no walks, and a 1.23 ERA in 14 and two-thirds innings.
It's actually only Twins players.
Duran.
These are all, yeah. Since August 1st, he's given up 12 earned runs in 16 innings.
Oh, that's the guy for the Dodgers. Or is he, no.
The weight pumper, the big tough guy we had.
Stewart? No, he's injured.
Louis
See,
Varland?
That's how important he is. Louis Varland.
I wouldn't call him a weight pumper.
No, he's supposed to be a tough guy. After 6 seasons with the Clippers, this former Gopher and Minnesota high school star recently signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. You have it every morning. It's in a cup.
Coffee.
Oh,
coffee.
Beer, coffee.
Yeah. Why did Nate Schmidt make a special trip to his hometown of St. Cloud recently? He's an NHL defenseman.
Ooh.
We're not up on our current events.
I wouldn't call this current events.
He brought the Stanley Cup to his high school rink.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and this is bonus. What NHL team does Nate Schmidt play for?
The Panthers,
There you go, Megan. Nice job. And the last one, University of Minnesota student Johnny Campbell was in the news recently. At a Minnesota Gophers football game in 1898, Campbell jumped out of the stands and began this tradition that continues this day at high school, college, and pro football and basketball games. Hello? Cheerleading. That's a good one to end on.
Oh
my gosh.
Franklin Roosevelt led cheers at Harvard, as did Dwight Eisenhower at West Point. Ronald Reagan was a cheerleader at Eureka College in Illinois, and George Bush was a cheerleader at Yale. We're going to end with that exciting.
There you go. Gopher game starts at 9:30 Saturday night. John, stay up.
California.
Yeah.
All right. Berkeley. I will. Yep. Don't worry. See y'all. Good
All right.
Good luck fishing, Kyle.
Bye.
Coming up, we've got local news with the Up North Report, and then we'll be talking about a new book for kids that is based on a real dog.
Scrim.
That's right.
I got this.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Authorities in Carleton County are seeking public assistance in locating a missing Esco man. 25-year-old Antonio Jose Sarasua was last seen leaving his home on Monday. He drives a blue 2017 Subaru and has made past comments about living in his car and traveling to Texas, according to a news release. Sarasua is described as 5'11" with brown hair and brown eyes. His family is concerned for his well-being as they haven't heard from him since he was last seen. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact the Carleton County Sheriff's Office or dial 911. The DFL Minnesota Senate is creating a subcommittee to study the impact of the Big Beautiful Bill signed into law on July 4th. The Select Subcommittee on Federal Impacts on Minnesotans and Economic Stability will have Republican and DFL members. The Minnesota Reformer reports the group will travel around the state to hear from farmers, hospital administrators, people reliant on food or medical assistance, and others impacted by recent changes to federal law. The committee will alternate weekly meetings between St. Paul and affected communities beginning Thursday. Republican Senator Paul Utke of Park Rapids is among those named to serve. Governor Tim Walz announced the appointment of Assistant Roseau County Attorney Michael Grover as a district court judge. He will assume the bench in Roseau County upon the retirement of Judge Donna Dixon. Walz said Grover is a, quote, familiar face to both the community and the justice system, and his commitment to treatment courts and justice innovation fosters greater public trust in the justice system. Grover was one of three candidates nominated by the Commission of Judicial Selection that included Bemidji City Attorney Katie Nolting and Thief River Falls Public Defender Max Schaefer LeCoursier. A new study from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health found that access to obstetric care across the country has declined and that those closures have hit rural communities the hardest. The Daily Yonder reports the data included the years 2018 to 2022, when national policies designed to preserve obstetrics units were already in place. The study looked at the status of obstetric services between 2010 and 2022 in nearly 5,000 short-term acute care hospitals in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Using an enhanced algorithm, the researchers determined whether hospitals stopped providing obstetric services over the 12-year period and whether those hospitals were in urban or rural areas. Seven states saw nearly a quarter of their hospitals close their obstetric units. The researchers found, by the end of 2022, two-thirds of rural hospitals in eight states were without obstetric services. Previous research found that in states that chose to expand Medicaid, there were delays in closing obstetrics units, but it did not stop the units from shutting down. A study in Obstetrics and Gynecology published this month found that residents in a maternity care desert are more likely to have a higher rate of maternal and pregnancy-related death. The study found that poor maternal health outcomes in the U.S. rose 89% since 2018 because of structural inequities in healthcare access, particularly in rural and underserved area. A WCCO investigation found that since 2021, nearly 20 hospitals in the state have moved or closed labor and delivery services, including at Essentia Health in Fauston. The Superior National Forest plans to begin prescribed burns as early as this week. Pile burns will begin on the eastern side of the forest's Gunflint and Toft Ranger districts, pending required approvals. The western side will see prescribed burns when conditions improve. The work is likely to continue through December as weather conditions allow. Prescribed burns are used to reduce overgrown vegetation to help protect from wildfires. Weather conditions will be evaluated before burns begin, and county emergency management officials will be notified of prescribed burning activity. Broadband expansion projects underway in parts of Itasca and St. Louis counties are expected to be completed before the deep freeze. Member-owned cooperative Palmetto Communications reported the various projects are on track as construction season in northern Minnesota nears its end, including those in Coleraine and Bovee. The company says that once the network is operational in an area, customers who signed up will be contacted to schedule service installations. See the status of all the projects and find out more info at KAXE.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, we've got Headwaters with Malachi Coons, followed by Minnesota Mixtape. Malachi's your host for that as well. And at 1 o'clock today, we have a volunteer-hosted program on the river. It is Allie After Heidi. And at tonight at 7 o'clock, it is Alyssa Ellen. Cool stuff. Volunteers bringing you great music, great programming, connecting you to where we live in northern Minnesota. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. And our support this morning comes from the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork, presenting Militici, new music from the old country. Sam Miltich and his friends will take the stage tomorrow, Saturday, September 13th at 7 p.m. Tickets available at the door. Info at edgecenterarts.org.
Also want to thank Headwaters Unitarian Universalist Fellowship and Bemidji Huff's congregation strives to build bridges with the community and welcome all to seek truth, practice love, and celebrate life. Learn more at headwatersuu.org. Speaking of music, Jay Bell and the Lazy Susan Band at the Terrace in Aiken at 7 o'clock today. G.B. Layton's at the Miners Family Pavilion in Grand Rapids at 7.
Garage 19 at the VFW in Deer River at 7.
Lodestone at the Locker Room at 7:30.
And Virgil Caine Band will be at the Eagles in Grand Rapids at 8:30 tonight.
We just, tomorrow we talked about Sam at the Smoke on, no we didn't.
This is Anthony.
Anthony Miletich at the Smoke on the Water in Coleraine at 5 o'clock. Grant Edwards at Rapids Brewing at 6.
Bugle Boys at Smoke on the Water in Coleraine at 6.
And Sam Miletich in the Clearwater Hot Club at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork at 7.
That's right. Coming up, we're going to be talking about a brand new book for kids based on a real-life adventure story of a dog named Scrim, right?
Yes, we'd also like to find out from you. Text us, let us know what's going on with the rain. It looks like we're supposed to get rain and maybe even some thunderstorms going on. It's still just dark here in Grand Rapids. We had some northwest Minnesota saying where they were getting a little bit of rain.
There is rain coming down. Yep, the radar showing some rain moving through. We're expecting 74 to 80 for our highs today. South winds 5 to 10, gusting up to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, patchy fog, lows 56 to 61, and then the next 2 days, partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s to even low or mid 80s.
We would like to thank the Northland Foundation, working within Northeast Minnesota, offering grants, small business supports, and programs to help people and communities working toward a future where everyone feels they belong and can thrive. NorthlandFDN.org.
Lots of things going on in our region this weekend, and that includes the National Loon Center in Cross Lake. They are hosting loon pontoon tours Fridays and Saturdays. It's now through the month of September. You can make a reservation at nationalloonscenter.org.
And the Zach Simbog is hosting Minnesota Northern Owl Eruption Winter 24-25 on Friday at noon at the Visitor Center in Meadowlands. Wildlife biologist Dave Grosch. We'll just leave it at that. We'll explain exceptional winter in northern Minnesota.
The Walker Ethnic Fest is in downtown Walker tomorrow. There'll be food and art from 10 to 5, a parade at 11, and live music from noon until 9 o'clock. And coming up, the Buck Lake Improvement Club on Sunday has their monthly breakfast buffet at the Community Center, 12 miles north of Nashwauk on Highway 65. New music now before we talk Scrim from Brandi Carlile.
Is there some freewheeling watcher shooting marbles in the sky, holding your ears between their fingers, watching it burn till the fire dies? Why is it heroic to untether? How is alone some holy grail? And if we really come and go unknown, couldn't I find myself in jail? Oh, keeper, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. Is it evolving, turning inward? Oh, what an easy way to be. Only kneeling at the altar of the great and mighty me. Let me break myself apart. Instead and scatter to my birds like a burial at sea. To be the gospel without words. Oh, my darlings, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. There's no honor in the pilgrimage until a soul returns to hold another's hand, and then, and only then, it learns that life is like a stone, only skipping for a time. It'll never see the other side. And I was born to love you. I love you and you and you. Oh, returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. Returning to myself is just returning me. That's the only thing I want to do.
Brand new music from Brandi Carlile there. It is called Returning to Myself. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Coming up at 9, Malachi Coens brings us Headwaters.
Does she ever have a bad song?
I don't think so. We are about to focus on quite the character, a real character. It's Scrim. Scrim is a terrier who survived hurricanes, injuries, and even a New Orleans snowstorm. And there is a new book out about him. It's called Scrim, A New Orleans Story of Resilience and Rescue. It's by Kay Corrington. It's a book for kids and illustrated by Eileen Bennett, probably for all ages, though, probably.
Oh, for sure.
Right, Kay? Oh, you are on mute.
Are you there?
She's working on it. It's a little harder on a phone. I know, I have a problem with that myself.
Hello.
There we go. Yeah.
Hello, Heidi. It is absolutely for all ages. There's nothing in it inappropriate for children, but it's kind of a bigger story than that. It involves resilience and unity, and, you know, it's kind of a message for all generations, I would say.
So, Kay, how do you write a children's book that's for all ages? What goes on behind the scenes to do something like that?
Well, I mean, you know, after all, children are little people. So there are some universal traits, I would say. But I wasn't really focusing on any age group when I wrote it. I like to write these kind of rhyming toasts, you know, like if you were getting married, I would do a little funny rhyming toast for your rehearsal dinner or something. And my friends all knew I did that. And so they had this idea for me to write this book. And I wasn't really focusing on an audience. I just wanted to capture Scrim's personality and story in a kind of a rollicking, rhyming way.
Yeah. So being a dog lover, did it help you write this book?
Such a dog lover. I've had 12 dogs in my life. Most of them are rescues. Scrim, of course, is a rescue dog. His personality is just, I mean, actually, I've actually never personally met Scrim because he's very afraid of people, but that's being worked on. But his personality came across so much in his story, and as all New Orleanians were looking for him together, it was such a unifying thing. And we learned his little quirks. We tracked him all over the city. And I felt like I knew him like I know so many, I've known so many dogs in my life, yes.
Who, tell us, what is the story of Scrim? Who was Scrim?
So Scrim was a rescue dog who was abandoned by a family, I believe, and ended up in a rescue facility. And the most, you know, his real story to me, the grabbing part of it to me begins when he jumped out of a second floor window in the rescue facility. He's just a little thing. He's just a tiny little dog. So, and that's captured on the Ring camera. So you see this tiny little dog leaping off the second floor of a building, and then he pops up and runs off. Well, he seems immortal right then, and, you know, kind of legendary. And then for 9 months, I think he was looking for that original family, because he's just kind of running frantically around the city. And it captured people's, you know, attention, I think, because he survived that jump, which was a very popular video. And you can actually see it in the back of my book. There's a link to it. And people in New Orleans, all over the city, started leading out water for him, dog food for him on their front porch. They looked for him on their Ring cameras, and then someone started a website where we would all post sightings. So there would be a map, and you could go on there and see where Scrim had been sighted. And he's literally running all over New Orleans. Like, I think they clocked him at something like 8 miles per hour once. By the distance he had to have gone in between two locations, he went 20 miles one day. As I say, he's just a little scruffy dog. He evaded we had a freeze, which is very freakish for all, a snowstorm and a freeze. He had 2 bullets in him when he was found, and I don't know what that's about. There's a video of him almost being hit by a train. He just had this kind of immortal aspect to him. And who doesn't love an underdog story, right? Literally an underdog story. And it was such a feel-good story in the end, that this whole city came together and, in you know, unified 1,000% behind this dog and found him. And now he's happily back with the owner of that rescue facility from which he escaped. And also in my book, there's a QR code to his life now and recent videos where he's just so happy. After watching him be so thin and dirty and everything, it's just a wonderful story.
So he's back with that facility. Wasn't he going to be euthanized?
Well, Probably
initially, yeah.
Probably originally.
Yeah, not anymore.
He's not at the facility. He's literally the owner of that. That was a private rescue group. He's the owner's dog now.
Okay.
So he's not in the facility. He's at her house.
So
once she found him, and she was one of the people that was, her name is Michelle. She was out in the middle of the night in a truck with binoculars. You know, this went on for 9 months, which is such a long time, right? She was out there looking for him all the time, and she really got attached to him, you know, and now he lives with her and her dog Scooby, and they just seem extremely happy.
Well, people were, you know, obviously everybody was looking for him, but you couldn't approach him because he didn't really care for people, right? Is that kind of...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know how he was finally caught? It's the funniest thing. There's a nonprofit in New Orleans called Trap That Cat. And Trap That Cat goes and traps feral cats, spays them, puts them back, you know, all very humane. He climbed into one of their traps to get some food. And so all of a sudden, we've got Trap That Cat, who knew these rescue people because all the rescue folks in New Orleans work together. And they called Michelle and said, oh my gosh, I think we've got Scrim by accident in our cat, you know, trapper. So that's actually how Scrim got caught. It's a very flukish thing, considering, you know, a city, a metropolitan area of almost 1 million people is looking for this dog, and he was able to evade them. And then, you know, his big mistake was crawling into a box that had food in it. So that's how Scrim came back.
It's wonderful that a whole city can be enamored by a lost dog. Tell us about when you decided to write this book and how the heck do you write this book?
Well, as I said, friends are aware that I write these rhyming posts about people and things. And so a friend who is a published author with this publisher knew that there was a huge interest in Scrim. And he said, Kay, I think you should write one of your rollicking toasts and it could probably be made into a book. And that's what happened. So I sat down to do that, as I've done for many friends, as I say, at the rehearsal dinner, baby shower, you know, whatever event in your life, I'll write a toast for it. So it just took me about a week, which, you know, because I usually get told I need to do this for, you know, I'm used to doing it on a short time frame. But then, we worked on it for a good long while with tweaks, and fabulous, fabulous illustrator named Eileen Bennett really captured Scrim's adorable personality. And she really made the book so appealing in the way she decided to illustrate his story. You know, it's hard to convey maybe something like loneliness in a picture. You know, so in a passage where I say Scrim had a realization that traveling alone was not a vacation or something like that, she drew him, you know, this little scruffy white dog looking wistfully off at a couple walking their dog down the street, you know, and you can almost see in his face that he's thinking, I wish I had a family like that to take me for a walk. And she really captured Scrim's personality and made the book, in my opinion, so beautiful. It's a beautiful book.
Also captured the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and all that stuff.
New Yorker.
Even the London Times. He's international.
Well, tell me, how do you work with the illustrator? Do you do it simultaneously, or you start, she finishes?
Honestly, the publisher, Susan Stepp Press, they did all of that. They took my words, and they already knew Eileen, and they showed her my words, and then she did the drawing, and then we all come together after that. But really, it was such a professional operation, and this is my first book, so thankfully so, because I would not have known how to do that. So it just came together. These professionals know exactly what they're doing, thankfully, and they did it very well.
We're talking with Kay Currington. The new book is Scrim, A New Orleans Story of Resilience and Rescue. Talk a little bit about resilience, like what people who are following Scrim, what you feel when you read this book, and, you know, kind of the bigger things with this.
I think, and this is why it's not only a book for children, right? It's because, you know, New Orleans has been through some things, and the New Orleanians are a very resilient group of people. I mean, they came back after Katrina, which was, of course, 20 years ago, last month or month before. You know, they rebuilt the city. They would not be dissuaded. And I was there then, and, you know, we're talking about living without power for a good long time. Some people are living in a trailer for a good long time. So the thing about New Orleanians is they do not give up easily. And that, to me, is a definition of resilience. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of populations might have just given up on a dog that's missing for 9 months. But because New Orleanians are so tenacious, I think that really contributed to hints being found again, and that we just didn't give up, and that's why it's a story of the New Orleans city population as opposed to, I mean, maybe every city would do that, I don't know, but I do think that it was indicative of the never give up kind of attribute that New Orleanians have.
Now, Scrim has a home. He goes out without, he has to have a leash for sure because he's going to dart off. But is he, without this book, would Scrim have been forgotten?
I don't think he would have been forgotten in New Orleans because people were really invested in him for 9 months. And, you know, it would have been something that was maybe fondly talked about at a, you know, at a birthday party or something for the rest of our lives. I'm not sure. But it's nice to have him memorialized because he was such a phenomenon for us. And it's funny you mentioned his leash because you can see, as I say, in the QR codes in the back of the book, his current life. And you'll notice that there are like two harnesses, two, let me know when they walk, Scrim. it's like there's an entire security force going out. You know, that's less so now because he's relaxing now. But in the initial videos, it's pretty hilarious that they have so many people holding a leash on, because he was a little Houdini. He would be almost caught. He would be seen and he would get out of situations, you know, at the end of an alleyway where you thought, well, here we are, you know, this is it. Like in a James Bond movie, and all of a sudden somehow they get out of it. That was Scrim. He just had this amazing ability to evade. And but he doesn't want to evade anymore. He's very happy now, and that's such a wonderful ending to this story of his.
How old was Scrim during the story, during his venture?
I want to say he's about five. But you know, he's one of those dogs where we don't really know his lineage. He didn't have a birth certificate.
So is it fun doing a book like this for you?
It was so fun, and especially because it's a happy ending. It's a true story. True underdog story with a happy ending about people coming together for one positive purpose, you know, and there's just the stories of unity right now are kind of hard to find. Mm-hmm. And so that the unity part was so important to me to mark and to show people what we can do when we have a common goal and something that's important to everyone for the greater good. And that's what it's really all about, that story.
And you're also giving back through putting this book, Scrim, out there, aren't you?
All of my proceeds for the Scrim book are going to animal rescue organizations, because as I mentioned, I've had probably half a dozen rescue animals myself. You know, I would say to anyone listening, if you're remotely considering getting a dog, just, you know, go on. There's a million Scrims that need homes, and they're usually come already trained, which is such a great thing. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a bad experience. And I guess I've probably had about six, you know, non-rescue dogs and six rescue dogs. Never had a bad experience with a rescue dog. And it's fabulous that they come trained. They love you. They're so grateful.
They're gracious.
I would encourage anyone. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I
would encourage anyone to look into that.
Absolutely. I've had many rescue dogs, and they know. They know that you saved them. They appreciate it. They love you. It's dogs are a special thing. And if you're anything like me, if you walk down the street, you see a dog, I have to almost approach every dog I see. It's not probably the
same here. Yeah. Same here, absolutely. And it makes my day.
Yeah, for sure.
Just heard from a listener wanting to know how Scrim is spelled, S-C-R-I-M. And we've been talking to Kay Currington, the new book, Scrim, A New Orleans Story of Resilience and Rescue. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Friday Morning Show. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, in on your smart speaker, People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Malachi Coon's coming up next for Headwaters on KEXE. And we'd like to thank the Grand Rapids Farmers